questions you always had, the answers you were never given, the place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Tonight we have a special interview with physicist and author Russell Targ, where we explore the fascinating world of remote viewing. Targ is a pioneer in the development of the laser and laser applications, and co-founder of the Stanford Research Institute's investigation into psychic abilities in the 1970s and 1980s. He is also the author of 10 books dealing with the scientific investigation of psychic abilities, including his latest work, Third Eye Spies: Learning Remote Viewing from the Masters. In this interview, we will delve into the topic of remote viewing, which involves accessing the non-local mind to gather information beyond the reach of physical senses. Targ will share his insights into remote viewing, including what it is, how it works, and its potential applications. He will also discuss his experiences working with government agencies like NASA, the CIA, and the Defense Intelligence Agency, and how remote viewing has been used to solve mysteries and gather intelligence. Furthermore, Targ will shed light on the relationship between remote viewing and spiritual healing, and how modern physics offers new perspectives on these phenomena. We will hear fascinating stories of his experiences in the field, including using remote viewing to aid the police and FBI during the Patricia Hearst kidnapping. This interview offers a unique perspective on psychic abilities and the non-local mind from a physicist's point of view. Join us for this captivating conversation with Russell Targ as we explore the secrets of remote viewing and the non-local mind.
Welcome to Veritas. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasradio.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. Discover the Veritas Digest series on Amazon. Multiple volumes, each unveiling the truths they don't want you to know. It's more than just reading. It's an awakening. Secure your copies today. If you're looking to get in touch with Mel, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website at veritasradio.com. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's show.
The latest book is titled Third Eye Spies: Learn Remote Viewing from the Masters. His website is espresearch.com. And directly from Palo Alto, California, I'm honored to welcome Russell Targ. Hello, Mr. Targ, and welcome to Veritas.
Very happy to be with you this afternoon.
My pleasure. May I call you Russell?
Of course.
Well, the first question in anyone's mind, tell me about the genesis. This intrigues me a lot, the genesis of your journey. What was the catalyst that drew you into the realm of remote viewing, and how did you, those initial steps, how did they shape the path you've worked in uncovering the mysteries of the mind?
Well, I got into remote viewing because as a child, I was interested in magic. I was a child magician on the stage, doing linking rings and other ways to fool people. And from time to time, in the course of pretending to read somebody's mind, I would get a clear picture of what their house looked like. Like I was, woman would want to know, it's a long story. I would get a picture of somebody's house who I was interviewing. And so I could supplement my nasty trick with whatever ESP came my way. But I had been interested in psychic stuff for since childhood. I had a deck of Zener cards from high school. So I was always interested in, I guess I was a very, my vision is very poor, as you may know, but I was a very successful card player. I played all sorts of bridge and poker and things like that. And I felt that I often had more success than I should have had. But I got interested in going to meetings with professional parapsychologists, and they were all very nice people, but they were poor. There's nobody made very much money as a professional ESP researcher. So I thought that I would stick to physics until I was well enough known so I could trade in my physics and then get a job creating a laboratory to study psychic abilities where people would actually be paid a living wage. See, I grew up during the Depression. We were poor during the Depression. I didn't want to replicate that. So I, 1970, I had built a very powerful laser. I was a pioneer in the development of the laser. So by 1970, I had built a very powerful laser with a 1,000-watt carbon dioxide laser. And I had done that for NASA. So NASA happened to have a conference on speculative technology in 1972. And I was invited to go to that conference and talk about American and Soviet psychic research. I did that, and I met Wernher von Braun. And at that conference, I had an ESP teaching machine with me, which you may have seen by now. It's an ESP gadget. Yeah, I don't know what you can see because I don't get any feedback.
Yes, but by the way, folks, we have video. If anybody who's listening to this interview, we can go. You can go to the website and see the video as well. So that's an app that I'm seeing right there, right?
That's right. This is an ESP teaching machine, and I had that at my NASA conference, and I got a chance to show that to von Braun, and he did very, very well with that. He said, "I've always been interested in psychic things. I used to do psychic things with my grandmother." And I said, "Well, I'm interested in getting NASA support. I built lasers for NASA in the previous decade, and I'm now interested in getting NASA support to start a ESP research laboratory. And I have the idea that with feedback and reinforcement, I can teach people how to get in touch with their psychic selves. And in fact, for a astronaut, I could help him get in touch with his spacecraft so he could tell if there's going to be an accident. In fact, 2 years before 1970, I guess, NASA had a near miss of a spacecraft. The oxygen tank came loose, and there's a very interesting film about that particular spacecraft. Because they had to literally put it together with scotch tape and duct tape so they could get oxygen out of the broken tank. And I said, well, if the astronauts were psychic, they could have known that that was going to happen and they'd have fixed it before they took off. So I told Wernher von Braun that I think that I could teach astronauts how to get in touch with the spacecraft. And for some reason, he thought that was a good idea, probably something his grandmother told him. So he took me to meet Jim Fletcher at this conference. Fletcher was the administrator of NASA, top guy. And he said, Mr. Tark here, who built lasers for us in the past, wants to use his experience to try and teach astronauts how to get in touch with their spacecraft to avoid accident. And Fletcher thought that was a good idea. Von Braun thought it was okay. They might give us the $80K to set up that program. And I'd never talked to people about that. But in my book, Third Eye Spies, I talk about my interaction with Von Braun. People were shocked. So what makes you think... How could you walk up to the famous Wernher von Braun and tell him you want to teach people to be psychic? You had no experience doing that, isn't that right? I said, that's right. But with the idea that I read a lot of science fiction, The idea is nothing has to be truth, just to sound true. And I was quite confident from my life experience that I could teach people to be psychic. And Von Braun and Fletcher agreed to give me some money if I could find a place to work. And one thing led to another, and I got a job at SRI working with another laser guy, Hal Puthoff. And in 1972, we started a program together with Ingo Swann, the great psychic, who did know something about ESP, and he invented remote viewing, showed us how that might work. And my job for a decade was to teach people how to get in touch with their psychic selves to describe what it looks like where someone is hiding. And I became very skillful at helping people describe distant places into the distance or into the future. And that's what I did for a decade.
Did you interact with Edgar Mitchell, by the way, since I remember our conversation and the fact that he used some of these abilities learned?
Well, Mitchell was interested in psychic stuff also. From his spacecraft on the Apollo, whatever it was he was on,
14.
He was doing ESP tests with Ryan's ESP cars from his spacecraft to some workers on the Earth. And his experiments were moderately successful. That it is much harder to guess cards than it is to guess the distant location where someone is hiding. In fact, where Ingo really didn't teach me how to do remote viewing. He taught me that the easiest thing to do for a psychic is to describe an outdoor target where a friend is hiding. You of course don't know where he's hiding, but to make a contact with a friend outdoors and describe what it looks like he's hiding, that is infinitely easier than guessing cards. Because guessing cards is an analytic task, and remote viewing basically is a non-analytic task. And so we were very successful. We did numerous trials with different people. Worked with Ingo Swann with our first one because he taught us how to do it. Pat Price was a psychic policeman who was very prodigiously successful in describing things in great detail. And we published that paper we did with him in Nature magazine as Nature's first paper dealing with ESP. And in due course, our contract monitor, Pete Green, who's a psychiatrist and doctor, wanted us to get a person who had never done this before. Can't you bring in a control? And I brought in a good friend of mine, Hella Hammett, who's a photographer, charming German lady, very smart, never did anything psychic and thought it would be very amusing from her point of view to get paid by the CIA to pretend to be a psychic. And it turned out that in the decade I was at SRI, Hella was the most psychic person we ever worked with. That we published her findings in the Proceedings of the Electrical Engineering Society, and her statistics, probability of getting as successful as she was, be one in a million. Ingo Swann, Pat Price were very good, but they were in the neighborhood of one in 100,000. So our control person, Hella, was 10 times more psychic than the two most psychic people in the world.
How did that happen? Was it innately or learned?
Innately. That is the first time. Hella had never done this before. So the first time we did this in a formal series, we went up to a little room that we made comfortable for her. And she was all prepared. She had crocheted some socks with little eyeballs for toes. So she took this all very seriously. And I said, okay, Hal has gone to hide somewhere in the San Francisco Bay Area. And the Bay Area, as you may know, is full of interesting things. the San Francisco Bay is near where we were. The ocean is just over the hills. There are bowling alleys, indoor places, outdoor places. Hal could have gone to hide in any conceivable place. And we had 60 possible locations that someone else created. As an interviewer, I'm a blind interviewer, not having nothing to do with my vision, but it's a double-blind experiment, so I don't know what the possible hiding places are, and I, of course, don't know where he's gone. So our very first trial with Hella, and this is what I did again and again throughout my career. I would sit with Hella, and she said, well, what am I supposed to do? Famous first words. And I said, well, Hal is hiding somewhere. I just want you to quiet your mind and tell me about the surprising images that show up in your awareness. Now, I just made up those magic words to do that. I had a lot, I studied psychology, so I was very familiar with Carl Jung also. Carl Rogers is the one who taught us to be kind to our subjects. His non-directive psychology. He would never ask you to say, tell me where you think they're hiding, because that's an analytical question. You want to get the person on your side, and it's very important to give them an idea, give them a task that is a priori seems doable. So I would sit with Hella and say, well, Hal's hiding somewhere. I have no idea where it could be. I just want you to tell me about the surprising images that show up in your awareness. Only you know that, so you can't do that wrong. If you just tell me, draw a picture of where you think he is, that's all we need. And she said, I see some cars moving by and the trough overhead, but it's full of holes, so you couldn't carry anything in the trough. And I said, could you make a drawing of that? And she made a drawing of squares within squares within squares. And I said, that looks great. Let's just have some coffee and wait for Hal to come back. And he had been in a pedestrian overpass made of, not sheet metal, made of fencing, basically. So it was squares within squares within squares. The photograph that we took greatly resembled what Hella had drawn, a strikingly accurate drawing. And that was her trial number one. And people were very amazed because her trial number one of squares within squares within squares was as accurate as anything we had ever seen from anybody else. And after we did 9 trials with her, it turned out that she was a natural psychic, of which there are quite a few. So we published her findings in the Proceedings of the Engineering Society. And then we got permission from the Army to create an Army Psychic Corps, which became known as Stargate. And I chose 6 people from a group of Army or officers who decided that it was all right to risk their career to learn to do the psychic stuff. So the Undersecretary of Defense came by and I showed him how to do remote viewing. So he was sold that even an Army general can do remote viewing. This couldn't be too hard. So one of the first guy I worked with from the Army, Joe McMonagle, had never done this before. And I said, well, your colonel has gone to hide someplace with Hal Puthoff. Can you tell me what you're experiencing with regard to where it is? We're going to go see him in a half hour. And he said, well, it looks like a museum. And he drew this two-story building with a fountain in front and columns in front. And that drawing greatly resembled where he was, and he became the star of our program. He has now gone on for 2 decades traveling the world.
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasradio.com. Because you don't want to believe, you want to know. Subscribe now. To listen to the rest and all of our exclusive material, proceed to the Veritas Plus member section or join the Veritas Plus family by subscribing. Click on the subscribe button at veritasradio.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for focused life force energy. Get a 15-day free trial today with no credit card required. And if you want to get in touch with Mel, want to be a guest on this radio program, have a guest suggestion, or have feedback, just click on the contact button on our website at veritasradio.com. Now, proceed to the Veritas Plus member section or subscribe to listen to the rest of the interview. You don't want to miss it. Because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at VeritasRadio.com.